Hello, friends. We have gathered here today for worship on the second Sunday of Easter, April 19th, 2020. We are dispersed in very many places today, but our hearts are unified together as one as we worship in the Easter season, and thanks be to God for it. We invite you during this time of worship to participate. A printed worship guide is provided, and we encourage you to either print it or to have it in front of you on your screen, to join us in the litanies that are printed, to sing with us as we sing, to pray with us as we pray. We invite you to gaze upon the icon that is offered to you as an entry into prayer as we worship, and we invite you to simply close your eyes. Worship is another word for prayer, and so may this time, in all of the different aspects in which we worship, may it all together be a prayer that we offer with one another to God, and that we offer for one another. We need to hold each other in this time. We need to know that we are not alone, and we need to know that we are held in the embrace of our brothers and sisters and in the strong arms of Jesus Christ. And so now I invite you into this time of prayer. May it be a time that lifts our hearts and lifts our minds and binds us together with one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us worship. O God, you have defeated death. Now give us faith to believe. You have taken away our sin. Now give us the grace to accept. Your love has conquered hate. Now give us the compassion to share. Your light shines in the darkness. Now give us eyes to see. Eternal One, to you we lift up our hearts. Now give us hope for the living of these days.
A reading from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name.
Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for your presence in good times and in bad times. You alone give us the strength we need to face the difficult times, and you give us hope for the better days ahead. You are our refuge, our portion, and our cup. You are our Lord. We have no good apart from you. At this moment, I pray for our community of faith, our family in Christ, and I thank you for the life of each and every Day Spring member. Thank you for the gift we are to each other and all the blessings you have bestowed on us, both individually and as the community. During these difficult times, I pray that you preserve our faith and give us the inner strength we need during these times. I pray for those who have been affected by this pandemic. May you give them the peace that comes from knowing that you are in control. May you speak the words of hope to their hearts. I pray for those whose families or relatives are at high risk. May you protect their families. Most of us do not know what the future will be like, and that increases our anxiety. God, teach us to trust you completely and give us the grace that we need during these times. Protect us, O God, for we take refuge in you. You are our Lord. We have no good apart from you. I pray for the whole nation during these difficult times. I pray for the families that have lost their beloved ones. May you comfort their hearts. May you surround them with people who can be there for them as they grieve their loss. I pray for those laying on hospital beds fighting for their lives. May you heal them. I pray for all the doctors and nurses who have been working tirelessly and who have sacrificed their time to help those who are infected. May you give them the physical and inner strength that they need to do their work. I pray for all the government officials and decision makers. God, please guide them and give them the wisdom they need to make good decisions, decisions that will make a positive impact during these times. God, I pray for the nation of Rwanda. Not only the nation is facing this global crisis, but it is also commemorating the 1994 genocide. God, it is hard for most Rwandans to be in isolation right now. It is hard to grieve alone. There is so much pain, grief, anger, and hunger. I pray for wisdom. I pray for widows and orphans of genocide who are going through these times alone. Let them feel your presence and know that you are always there for them. I pray for people who cannot work now and do not have money to buy food. I pray for people who are relying on your miracle in order to put food on their tables today. I pray for small kids who go to bed hungry. May you provide for them, God. May you protect them, for they put their trust in you and they take refuge in you. You alone have the solution to this crisis, and you have the solution to all our problems. You alone have the power to save us. Protect us, O God, for we take refuge in you. You are our Lord. We have no good apart from you. Amen.
His sacred head. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord for God's people. Thanks be to God.
In a locked room at evening on the first day of the week, the disciples huddled, afraid to go outside, not knowing what awaited them there and not knowing what would become of their lives. Through the locked doors, Jesus, resurrected from the grave, came into the room and breathed peace into them. They rejoiced. Sure they did. We live in a world where we need Jesus to come through millions of locked doors to breathe God's peace. But that night, one of them, only one of them, Thomas, wasn't in the room where it happened. When the trouble started, the others had stayed put, but he went out. Why? When he left the lockdown, was he being faithful or foolish? Was he being courageous or just impatient? Was he getting groceries or taking a walk, clearing his head, sorting out the mysteries of all that had happened, contemplating what his life had become since he started following Jesus? When Thomas returned to the other disciples in the locked room after doing whatever he was doing, they told him all about how Jesus had appeared to them in this locked room, a feat until then unknown among living or resurrected beings. The news was incredible, but Thomas was incredulous. And Thomas said, "This is all very exciting, this virtual faith you're offering to me, but I can't stake my life on a virtual Jesus. The way of Jesus is too important to be Gnostic. unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, I will not believe." They were silent. He was right, of course. They believed in the incarnation. They believed in the Word made flesh. The resurrected Jesus had appeared to them. But still, what now? There was no guarantee Jesus would come back again to them. So if this is all there is, maybe we should make the best of it, some wondered. We can make a virtual church on the idea of the incarnation. Thomas jumped in again. He asked, "Can our faith be a virtual faith, or just spiritual, or just based on a remembrance of what happened in Jesus? Is it just about our feelings or our ideas?" "No. Hear me out, brothers. Faith in Jesus is in Jesus who was crucified on the cross. His death was real and terrible. I've been thinking about this since we've been locked down. We should not go to the world proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, but should know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We will go in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and our speech and message will not be in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that the faith of all those people everywhere might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if faith and the life of faith is going to be anything at all, it must be incarnate too. If we're going to be apostles, the resurrection for us disciples must be about the body of Christ, the wounds in his hand and his side. Because for all of those in the years to come, those pastors, those mommies and daddies and children and widows and the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned and the sick and the troubled and the quarantined, they must know that the life of the church is tangible, physical, embodied, and they cannot be satisfied with anything less. Even in this locked room, with everything to fear out there, even here, our faith can't just be virtual." Just then, Peter, nodding, eagerly jumped in, as Peter often did. "You're right," Peter said. "We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. In this you rejoice, even if for a little while you have to suffer various trials. The genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, tested by fire, results in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed." Someone said quietly, "He ought to write that down." All the disciples together rose to their feet. Thomas wasn't finished. He resumed speaking. He said, "The life of faith in Jesus for all those generations to come cannot just be in their individual feelings or their ideas, though feelings can be wonderful and ideas are very important. But it must be sacramental. It must be embodied. People need taste and touch and sight and sound. God made us as bodies. Christ came as a body and he rose as a body. Those people out there won't have the physical body of Jesus like you did when he appeared to you, and as I hope he appears also to me. But the Christian faith we share from this locked room into all the world will be, must be, tangible, incarnate, embodied in human sacrificial love and in sacrament, in bread and wine and water. We must show them, teach them that this is the meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, And because it is the life of the church Jesus calls into being and promises to always be with. God did not create individual humans to act out their lives on a green screen staged backdrop of something that looks like a real world. God didn't code a matrix of simulation for individual humans to come to Jesus and then fly away. God created an actual world that he said is very good, a world with mommies and daddies and children and neighbors and grain to make bread and grapes to make wine and water to wash clean. And he said, these are very good. And God made dogs to hug when we're sad, and fish and birds to delight, and dinosaurs and dandelions. And God created a world with seasons, and some of them are hard. A world with days, and some of them are long. A world with nights, and some of them are lonely. God created a world of life and of death. And Thomas paused. They knew all about death. And in the pause, they remembered Jesus and the last meal they shared with him and the cross. And they remembered Judas and the dark cloud that always seemed to hover over him even until the end. Some deaths, Thomas said softly, are so very hard to understand. And they wondered about what might await each of them on the other side of those locked doors. We may not leave this lockdown for a while, Thomas said to the other disciples, but we will. And when we do, we will teach the whole world everything Jesus taught us. We will make other disciples who will join us. They will. Some of us will write letters. John, you and Peter, sharpen your pencils. You're going to be busy. Some of our enemies will join us too. God will soften their hearts. We'll send letters all over the world. I don't think I'll write one, but someone may write one using my name, and that's okay, I guess, but you'll know the difference. But our letters won't be all that we'll do. Letters on a scroll or a screen will be good, but never fully be enough to replace the word. And so we will go to them too. From the east to the west, we will go because that's what God's love is like. Remember, that's what we learned in Jesus. And we will baptize in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will break bread and say, this is Christ's body. And we will pour wine and say, this is the new covenant in Christ's blood. And they will do it to others as we do it for them. And on and on and on. Life will not always be easy in the future. When they're in situations when they can't have all these things like communion and baptism and hugs and handshakes, and there will be lots of times through history, they will hunger for them, even as I hunger for Christ now. And maybe they will remember me, not as a doubter, but as one like them, who just will not, cannot make do with anything less than Jesus. And when they hunger for what they have lost, I hope they will remember me and know that that hunger is holy, because they hunger for what is good and true and cannot be replaced by a video screen. What's a video? Someone asked. They'll know someday. And so, said Thomas, my brothers, so full of good news today about marvelous things you have seen, I celebrate with you what you have been given already. but in solidarity with all who in hard times and lockdown places will suffer with patience and with impatience. I will wait. I will wait until I touch his side and hear his voice. I will wait with all who must wait behind whatever locked doors for Jesus, because he will come. I'm telling you, I can feel it. He's coming. And if a stone couldn't hold him in, no locked door can hold him out. He's coming. Look, he is here. Oh, my Lord and my God. Lord, the resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as people made new by your life. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to want to do it, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Be present to all in trouble, darkness, and despair. Let your light shine in all the world today. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen. Heartfelt gratitude. I thank Elizabeth Brown and Jonathan Pinto, who led us in music today, and for Joe Bennett and Tiffany Harris and Solange Balakunde, who have led us today as well. It is a privilege to serve with these people. Go in peace. Amen.